amen. They ran and they got to the grave site. John outran Peter. Yeah. Amen. Peter was just a mouthpiece, but he couldn't run. Praise God. John outran him. But you want to know something about John? When John got to the grave site, the only thing John did was stop.
Yeah.
But the Bible tells us that Peter went on inside. Praise God. It was not until Peter had gone inside that John finally came in on the inside. Yeah. And it said that only when he came on the inside, they saw the clothes that was wrapped around him. Praise God. Just as though he had, his body had been lifted out of them. Praise God. They were lying there. And it says that only then did John believe. In other words, John and those other disciples, praise God, their hope had died when Jesus died.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to put some emphasis on that. See, the reason why their hope died, because they looked at Jesus Christ from the wrong perspective. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a king who was going.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Well, now let me call our attention to Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through. But deacons, I need some new something up here. We need to get these mics fixed. Amen. Next week, because I'm getting tired of all this popping and going on. We need to get somebody in here, a professional, somebody in here who's going to give us a guarantee and everything else that's going to make these mics work. Because this is the lifeblood of our church. Amen. And then it's the lifeblood of my boys. Amen. And Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 14 through 16. And we're just stepping off of what we talked about in Bible study. You heard it before. But again, I say you didn't get it the first time. It says to us in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. For he himself is our peace, who have made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." And again, we want to talk about tearing down those middle walls. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now thanking you for this gathering, and we ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst, and then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing grant us preaching power, and in that anointing, and in that, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin by saying to us this morning that, as I've already said, that the whole covenant that we promise to keep as one body in Christ is all about Christian unity. But we note that in the first part, we promise before God to walk together in Christian love. But my brothers and sisters, without unity in the fellowship, it's impossible to walk together in Christian love. That's why I believe that the greatest obstacle that challenges the Church of God today is a lack of unity and peace. Now, according to the text, as in the first church, this is usually brought on by the many little invisible barriers that we create in our lives that keeps us separated in the body of Christ. Now, the Jew and Gentile problem of the first century was the epitome of racial, religious, and cultural divisions. But in the text, the problem was the invisible wall of circumcision and the law. And so as we make our way to our text this morning, again, I want to talk from that subject, tearing down those middle walls. Now in the first half of this second chapter of Ephesians, our author, Apostle Paul, deals with what Jesus has done for the sinner in general. But in this second half, where we draw our text and subject, he deals with the Jew and Gentile in particular. Because in the church at Ephesus, there was a rift between the Jew and Gentile concerning circumcision and the law. And so in the text, Apostle Paul addresses this division by showing that Jesus had done away with the thing that brought about the division in the first place, namely the law and its regulations. He did it by his sacrificial death on the cross. And the text says he became our peace by tearing down the middle wall of separation that divided the Jew and Gentile. And so now he has created in himself one new man, namely the Christian church. But now, having said all of that, we must remember that the Jews were the covenant people, because God had made a messianic covenant with the Gentiles, but he made it with the Jews. And so the Jews had the law of Moses, which was really to protect them from pagan corruption, but the Jews misunderstood the purpose of the law, and therefore they felt superior and looked down on the Gentiles as being inferior. And not only that, the Jews had been there for a long time, and the Gentiles had just gained interest. And I believe you can understand that, because it's like in the church today. When a new member joins, many times, no matter what their talents or gifts or abilities are, there's always somebody talking about they just got here. They got to wait their turn to do this or that, to move into this position or that position. Even though the ones complaining and trying to block the new member, from doing something, they can't even do what they're trying to block that member from doing in the first place. And so before Christ came, the temple at Jerusalem was divided. It was divided both physically and spiritually, because everyone was behind a wall. But now, the wall caused divisions. The wall caused strife. It caused husbands to be separated from wives, men from women, and Jews from Gentiles, which only brought about division and strife. But the text says that Jesus brought these two antagonistic groups together and has now formed one new man, namely the Christian church. But now, having said all that, I need to tell us that walls are important because they are a part of the biblical legacy. And that's why the Bible says that it was the prophet Isaiah who said that a watchman ought to sit on the city wall. And his job was to warn the folk on the inside of the approaching danger, as well as the dangers that lurked within. Then there was Nehemiah, who, while in exile, he got the news that somehow the walls around the city and the old temple had fallen down and the gates had been destroyed by fire. And so he got permission from the king to go back home in order to repair the walls and restore the gates to their former position. But my brothers and sisters, I just got to tell you that walls can be some funny things, because not only do they affect our lives emotionally and mentally, but they also affect our lives psychologically. Because as humans, we are guilty of creating these walls or these little invisible barriers in our own lives. But now we do this, yes, Lord, in order to shut folk out. In other words, these little invisible barriers that we create in our lives are there to protect you from me and me from you. And therefore, I can't see your weakness and you can't see mine. And so to shield, protect, and defend ourselves, we build up these little walls, these little invisible barriers in our lives. But now the walls also prevent communication, meaning I can possibly hear you talking, but because the wall is there, I can't understand what you're saying. But if I can't understand what you're saying, there is no communication. And where there is no communication, there can only be division and strife. Moreover, Lord have mercy, Brother King, the walls also prevent sight, meaning they act as a barrier to keep me from seeing you and you from seeing me. But now if I can't see you, I can't sense you, nor can I appreciate or understand you. Because as long as that wall is there, I'm unable to see the smile on your face, and so I can't participate in your joy. As long as that wall is there, I can't see the tears flowing down your cheek. And so I'm insulated from your pain. I'm insulated from your hurt. So as long as the wall is there, you got a defense mechanism, meaning I can't see you, nor can I hear and understand you, which means our relationship is incomplete. Because I haven't sought to share with you, and you haven't sought to legitimately share with me. And therefore, as long as the wall is there, there will always be separation. And where there is separation, there is no peace. And where there is no peace, there is no unity. And where there is no unity, it is impossible for us to walk together in Christian love. And so we got to tear down those middle walls. Because where there is division and strife, I need to tell us that the church is weakened, the Holy Spirit is grieved, and the testimony of the church is marred. And might I remind us that the Bible said that one of the main tactics of the enemy of the church, the devil, is to divide and conquer. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 12:25, he said, every house divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every house, that means your house, my house, the church house, and even the White House will not be able to stand. But the question of the hour is, are you aware of the middle wall in your life? I'm talking about those little invisible barriers that's causing division and strife in your life. It's causing division and strife in your relationship, in your marriage, in your home, and especially in the church. Because, my brothers and sisters, these little invisible barriers that we build up in our lives, they are destructive to the very purpose and the priority of the church. Remember, the text showed that the walls in the temple divided the circumcised from the uncircumcised, the Jews from the Gentiles. But what does this say to us this morning? My brothers and sisters, I believe it says to us that there is a danger in compartmentalized Christianity. Because the problem comes when those in one compartment intervene in the other compartment. And that's why we have separate choirs. We can't sing the Lord's song together. We got separate auxiliaries and separate denominations. We can't work and serve the Lord together. Separate Bible studies. We can't study the Lord's word together. We got separate friends and separate cliques and separate clubs and separate organizations. But let me tell you, Christ didn't say up on this club or up on this organization, I'll build my church. But I'll tell you what he did say. He said, up on this rock, I'll build my church. And the very gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And so in this church that Christ is building, we are many members and different from one another, but we are all make up one body in Christ.